Friends, the title of the talk, The Laws of Health and Healing, should be construed that we are going to deal with the philosophical basis for health as well as the process of healing. As a philosophical basis, we are not going to enter into the do's and don'ts, the various schools of therapeutics. We are not going to deal with different methods of cures, but perhaps, and it's necessary that we should dwell with those forces which maintain health, both physical, mental, psychic and spiritual. Now that is why we use the word philosophy, because in the system of theosophical perception, health is not merely a material gift. Health is the greatest of wealth, it is mentioned in the reading. It is not merely classified among the gifts purely on a physical level, but it has something to do at a deeper level. This, of course, now modern science is gradually approaching it, accepting it, although at least in 2 centuries ago, physical health is purely considered at a physical level and no further. There was nothing like psychosomatic medicine in those days, which now, of course, even a layman comes to know about this, and he knows that there is a link between mind and body, mind and emotion, body and emotions, and the moral state of consciousness affects physical state of consciousness. So even the layman nowadays knows about it. So we shall be now dealing with the, as we said, the basis, and therefore the laws that govern human life. Now health has been defined, if you go to a dictionary, there are various definitions to it. In earlier dictionaries, as we referred to, we found that they were in a negative way. Absence of disease is called health, a negative way of saying it. But there is a more positive way, and it is given out in your leaflet that is given in your hand, the handout that is there in your hand. In that it is defined this way. Health is a state of being healed, sound or whole, in mind, in body, mind and soul. Mind you, dictionary saying body, mind and soul. Now here the soul, of course, is interpreted perhaps by these Webster dictionary people to be the emotional side of nature. Another definition is well-being, especially a state of being free from physical disease or pain. Now this is the negative definition. Absence of sickness or disease or discomfort is stated as health. No wonder, because we can value our health only when we lose it. That means the value and the weight of disease, the measure of health, is in terms of the extent to which the man is uncomfortable. Now, health, in one philosophical view, is that it is a state of homeostasis. Okay, Hans Selye is one of the philosophers and thinker who coined that word homeostasis. That is a state of an internal, a kind of a harmony in an inner milieu. The internal conditions of the body, mind and soul, it is an internal condition in which there is homeostasis, that is a balanced state of affair. So balance or harmonious interrelationships is described as health. So this is modern, in mind you, he was a biochemist and he is now coming closer to a philosophical perception. Now how is it possible to maintain therefore this homeostasis? So there is certain regulatory mechanisms in the body. So we shall slightly dwell with these mechanisms in passing, though they are physiological, but they are also, again when we say, very much bordering on the higher perceptions. Now, the regulatory mechanisms are at 3 levels. One is at the physiological level, functional. The second is called the defense mechanism. And the third is the internal regulatory mechanism, which we shall also deal with. Now at the physical level, usually we should deal with, when we talk, say, about the physical system, we generally mean the various systems like respiratory system, circulatory system, and gastrointestinal system, and so on. But ultimately the system depends upon the individual cell of that particular organ. So that the system consists of organs, the organs consist of cell. And therefore when we think about, when Dr. Hensel talked about health or homeostasis, he was speaking in terms of the cellular harmony, the harmony at the cellular level. And true enough, it has been found that within cell there is a natural intelligence of accepting things and rejecting things, of permitting within the cell wall, permitting certain substances which is consubstantial, which is nature, which the body needs, which the cell needs, and it may even reject it. So cell also has its own inherent instinct of acceptance and rejection. So this is inborn, within the very cell itself there is an instinct, a protective instinct. It protects itself thereby, which rejects that which is not proper to his own life and accepts that which is natural and nourishing to itself. So this is again a natural born, nature's own protective mechanism or regulatory mechanism. Speaking about defense mechanism, the immunity mechanism is well known to all of us. We know that body's immunity is something which protects us against infection, against stress, against environmental conditions, and so on. And when it breaks down, of course, at the greatest, at the most tragic level, it is considered as autoimmune disorder, what is known as the AIDS, where the body own function to immunize itself, to protect through immunity, breaks down. The causes of it we shall soon consider. So this autoimmune disorder, this defense mechanism, which is immunity, is one way of doing it. Then there is an internal stress management. The management of stress, that is both physical, physiological, as well as psychological stresses through which when a man passes, spontaneously our internal organs called hormones, they secrete or they stop from secreting certain kind of hormone by which an adjustment takes place within the human economy. So bodily economy has a natural way of attending to the stress situations of body, mind, and soul. So this is another way by which a stress management can take place. And then there is a third method, is called detoxifying process through kidneys, through liver, through breathing, through respiration, through skin. Nature tries to detoxify itself, throws out the toxins from the body. This is again body's own defense mechanism. Then coming to the regulatory mechanism, you see our body regulates by itself automatically the temperature regulation, the fluid regulation within our body. Then what is known as the metabolic regulation, that within our body there are two processes going on simultaneously, metabolism and catabolism, anabolism and catabolism, and there is a natural adjustment between the two, that one is a destructive or destroying kind of process, another is a building process, and an internal adjustment taking place within itself. The whole purpose of this description is that body has its own intelligent wisdom. That there is such a thing as the wisdom or the intelligence of the body. Left to itself, body can protect itself without much interference. It is only when it breaks down up to a certain point that it requires certain aids. For it is true that nature unaided fails. It is true we have to give some kind of bodily support to the system. But up to a very great length, our body has got its own inherent, inborn protective mechanisms by which it can withstand itself against all the oddities of life. Now this means you must keep in mind that there is such a thing as wisdom of the body. Now where does that intelligence come from, about which we shall come to this? Another is of course the healing process. There is a natural healing process in our body. Whenever there is a wound, the wound of its own accord will heal itself. We can do certain kind of ways, like you can apply antiseptic in order to prevent sepsis. This is merely a preventive measure, but the healing is from within. And there are bodies which are so powerfully self-healing that even when they are severely injured, they heal very fast. On the other hand, a small wound can cause a very serious damage to the constitution. Now, for instance, the thing like tetanus. You see, whenever there is an injury to the skin, there is always a danger of an infection called tetanus. How is it that hundreds of people are undergoing accidents, injuries, small injuries, and they don't have to run to a doctor to get an anti-tetanus vaccine? See, we are protected by ourselves. The body protects against the tetanus thing. You may require tetanus toxin. Of course, if you go to a hospital, immediately the first thing they will give you is a tetanus toxin. So, I mean, this has been dependent too heavily on an outside force. But we must learn to depend upon who. Mentally, at least, we must ready to believe that my own body economy is capable of resisting infection. And then the more, and there is a wisdom in that belief, a wisdom in that acceptance of the fact of body's own wisdom. You see, there is a statement, it's called in disease as in health, all things right itself. All things tend to right itself by itself. Whether it is a disease state or whether it is in a health state, body tries to maintain its rightness. This is another wisdom we must accept. Because if we don't accept, then we start depending on outside forces like doctors, physics, medicine, and so on. The idea is that not to depend too heavily on the outside things, but make our own body, mind and soul in such a way that it learns to adjust itself to bodily environment. This is a state of an internal maturity. The body is so healthy and mature that it is capable of resisting against any possible oddities that it is likely to face. Then, the other definition of course health is nature's own effort at restoring harmony. Now what is this harmony? Here we come to a little philosophical view about what is known as, it corresponds to what is known as the law of karma. The law of karma is defined as an unerring tendency in nature to restore equilibrium at all the levels at which it has been disturbed. And that is a natural internal adjustment between cause without effect. It is this adjustment is felt as our destiny. Because we won't be able to go into the whole subject of law of karma. But there is a correspondence between this law and the law within our own body economy. That is, the body has in its own way, whatever happens to the body tries to adjust itself to its own environment. In that process of adjustment, sometimes there is a pain to be felt. If I have overeaten or if I have taken certain toxic matter in my stomach, the body tries to throw it out through vomit, through stool, through other processes. So it is body's own way of throwing out things which we consider as disease, which we consider as an uncomfortable state, which we consider as painful situation. Supposing the body temperature rises, this is body's own way of protecting against infection, because it is only when the temperature rises that the white corpuscles are able to fight against bacteria, the harmful bacteria. So body's own way by which, of course we call them symptoms, we call it a disorder. But these disorders are the symptoms of body's own effort at healing. So healing is such a large subject that it is not merely a healing of a wound. There is a continual healing taking place within our body. Then whenever the body gets insults from outside, it learns to modify that insult and learns to adjust itself to those insults. So in disease as in health, all things try to right itself. Then, that's why we say that we have to learn to respect the intelligence of our body. Behind this intelligence, there is what is known as the consciousness. This consciousness is there within every cell. The cell of our body is not merely a physiological boundary. Of course, it has its own physiological boundary, but it has its own what is called an invisible boundary within which it is functioning, and that it is functioning in its neighborhood. So each cell is aware of its responsibility to its neighbors because it has its own intelligence. This is surprisingly, we say so, but this is a fact of an ancient wisdom which tells you to go to the reading. There is a third reading which says every cell, and even an atom, mind you, even an atom is endowed with its own life, consciousness, will, intelligence, memory, and instinct to its own degree and plane of perception. So at its own level, it has its own intelligence. Now, it is something which microscope can't show, but it does show in its effect. As we said, each cell tries to, when it is injured, it tries to rebound, it tries to heal itself. Or when it is bombarded with an uncomfortable chemicals or toxic matter, it rejects it. And when it fails to do that, it breaks down under. And it is when it breaks down, disorder seems to come about. So this at a cellular level, there is such a thing as a healing process. So cell is an intelligent entity. Now this is one thing we will have to accept if we are going to go further with this lecture. That means there is an intelligence not only at our whole body, there is not only intelligence at our mind level, but there is a subtle intelligence within the cellular level. Which is why there is a natural biochemistry, so that the biochemistry of the body, which adjusts itself continually, takes place because of this inherent instinct or intelligence. You may call it instinct. Now, for instance, you take an example of a fertilized egg in a womb. How is it that a single cellular egg which has been fertilized, now having fertilized, starts behaving in a very funny way? It starts multiplying in such a way that it is gradually producing a human body, a baby. Where is the intelligence between that one single cell of an ovum, which is having fertilizer, as by itself it is useless, it is thrown out at every menstrual cycle. But when it is fertilized and intelligence takes place within it, or some revival takes place in it, it is quickened. And its own intelligence guides into the formation of the fetus, which turns out into a body, into a human baby. So this intelligence, this consciousness has to be recognized and respected. Therefore, the fetus has to be respected. The fetus is a living entity and should not be damaged, except, of course, in order to protect the mother's life. The fetus, through artificial matters, are sometimes killed through abortions. Why it is so serious not to do so? Because you are destroying an intelligent life. So please respect even a little fetus which is forming in a formative state, the third month, the fourth month. In its formative state also, it has its own adjustment going on, taking place in its own natural order, without any interference by the mother, without any interference by the best of thinkers in the world. You cannot produce a little human body, even in a test tube. In a test tube, even if you produce, it is taking place of its own natural intelligence. So respect the intelligence of the very cell of the human egg. So this takes place because in theosophy, these cells are impressed upon by what are known as the hierarchies of intelligences. This is another subject, it's a very vast subject of hierarchy of intelligences. When we say hierarchy, means from the highest down there are adjustments, it's like in an army. The highest the commander, and then under him workers, and there are under him workers, and so on. Like that, there are tremendous nature's own secret forces, intelligent forces, which are impressing upon what are known as the genetic codes to the cell. The cell behaves in a particular way because it has been genetically coded. But who codes it? What is that intelligence which gives the code to it in that particular mathematical order? Because genetic order is a mathematical order. This intelligence behind that are those finer, nature's finer forces, which are called, of course, the layman called the devas and the devatas, and that is considered superstition. But it is true that there are the very great intelligent forces which are continually and tirelessly working to protect this universe and let it unfold by itself. The whole unfolding process takes place thanks to those intelligent forces. They are called the builders, the cosmocrators, the architects of the universe at the highest level. At the lower level, they are called the cosmic lives. They are called the little elements of lives, elemental lives, which are intelligent by itself, and they give impress to the cells so that the cell will behave in a particular way. So this each cell, as it says, is constructed and built by a methodology, on a form which has already been programmed by their divine intelligences, and they are divine intelligences. So some total of it is that our body is an intelligent doctor of its own kind, that it has, and that we have to keep faith on that. So ultimately it comes to this, that health, again we can define as a state of an equilibrium at all levels, at the vital level, at the physiological level, at the psychological level. And therefore equilibrium has to be maintained if we have to going to maintain health. Now how it is maintained? There is another law, which is the law of interlinking. That in this universe, all things are closely interlinked and interrelated. So closely interlinked and interrelated that we are continually interdependent on one another. Not only as human beings, but even at cellular level, even at an atomic level, and even at the subatomic level. That everything is so closely interlinked and interrelated. So the smallest particle is related, it is related within itself, among itself, when the electrons are moving in their own harmonious manner. They are closely interlinked within single atomic form. They are interrelated with the central nucleus. In the same way, at a larger scale, the whole cosmos is linked and interrelated. So the particles are within themselves and interlinked, and the small parts are linked with the whole. So every single cell is interested to preserve the integrity of an organ. Every organ, all organs are closely interlinked in order to maintain a particular system, whether it is respiratory system or genital system or whatever the system, they have to be maintained, and therefore the whole body. The whole body is maintained in its proper health because of these interrelationships. And it is this interrelationship, when that is disturbed, that there is a disharmony. And maintaining of that internal interrelationship or harmonious interrelationship means health. Now, then that means you are going into a kind of a metaphysical level, no longer at a physical level. But we have to visualize that within our body an internal adjustment continually taking place in an harmonious manner without our interference with this, and left to itself it will do its job. A physician can only help and guide it in the right direction, provided he is wise enough to guide it in the right direction. That's why at one place somebody asked Madame Blavatsky as to which therapy shall we choose. He said, don't worry about therapy. Bother about the therapeutist. Who will be your doctor? The doctor is more important than the therapy. You choose your doctor wisely, not the system of therapy. Of course, there are systems of therapy which are of a higher kind, a better kind, like homeopathy, Ayurveda, allopathy, all various schools. But more important than that is the physician who guides the body's own natural forces in the right direction. The physician is a healer. He doesn't merely suppress his symptom. He doesn't merely do away with your pain. Those painkillers are easily available, even in the market. But the true job of a physician is to restore harmony. This is a definition that the great Hanuman, the founder of homeopathy, says the first responsibility of a physician is to restore the body to its equilibrium, to its own harmony, to its own state of health. Harmony means health. Now, therefore, health means wholeness, integrity, internal interrelationship between parts and the whole in an harmonious way. And therefore, in opposite sense, illness and disease is disharmony or disorder. Now, regularly the science says a disease is a kind of a disorder, a very uncomfortable state of affair, and that takes place at the chemical level, at the cellular level, and therefore at the organic level, and ultimately it expresses itself at the pathological level. So the disturbances is felt as signs and symptoms when the physiology gets affected. So here the belief is that first the organs are affected, then the systems are affected, functions are affected, and then the pathology comes into being. The ancient belief is that there is first the function and then the organ. It is because the function is needed an organ is produced in a body. If there is a climatic change in such a way that there is a tremendous cold, then after some years the body learns to protect itself by developing an outer skin which protects itself through long hair, through white hair. Against in the snow, for instance, the bears have got white skin, white hair. It is its own protective mechanism which, because of the need of the body, body wisely builds itself in its own fashion. So first the need, first the physiological need, first the functional need, and then the external manifestation, the physical manifestation. So physics does not come first. First comes the invisible side of what is called the nature's own needs. With that, that means it is the vital functional need which brings about bodily changes. Now, coming to another concept, the occult science, the ancient wisdom speaks about human body. It's not that it is visible on the outside, not the physiological body that we know about, but body consisting of two bodies, what is known as the sthula sharira and a sukshma sharira. That is the sthula means the gross body, which is visible, which you know about, made up of cells, organs, etc. And the sukshma sharira is the vital body. This vital body consists of two factors. One is called an astral body. An astral body is a body which is a model upon which the physical body has taken place. So there is first an astral realm, an invisible realm, a kind of a blueprint is formed upon which physical cells arrange themselves to create a human body. For that is what is taking place in the womb of a mother. And in the womb of the mother, although the center is the ovum which is growing up, but the intelligence that guides it is the intelligence within the astral form. It is this astral form which is the structure, an invisible structure upon which the cells arrange themselves in a particular orderly way. These orders keep on changing according to the need of the growth of the fetus so that ultimately the whole baby takes place. So astral body is one of the subjects which ancient philosophy has introduced, and if you accept this, then you will be able to understand many of the mysteries of medicine and science. Then we talk about the other thing, that vital body consists of the astral body and what is called the pranic currents. Within that astral body, a continual stream of electromagnetic currents are taking place in a particular order, in a particular fashion, in such an harmonious way that without our intervention, electrical magnetic changes take place within our body, so that each time I think and electrical impulses are going on in my body, each time I receive a message from outside, a message is conveyed through my eye to my brain through this electrical impulse. This electrical impulse is nothing else but this vital energy called prana or vital force. This also we will have to accept. And therefore this prana or the life energy, it is that which guides the little cells of our body, the lives of our body. And it is when there is a disturbance, the disturbance takes place, it is at this pranic level. Disturbance takes place at the subtler level, which expresses of course itself at the physiological level. Therefore, health therefore here means vital economy is maintained. And it is only when that vitality is lost, that is the life is lost. When we say the life is at its ebb, I don't have any energy in me when we say. Or I don't have energy to resist infection. I don't have energy to come out healthy. I don't have that internal vital force to... I feel weak, I feel depressed, I feel run down. The run down experience is nothing else but low vitality. Now this is, we laymen are able to understand this, that there is something as vitality. The word vital means life, the life energy. Those, it is called the pranic currents, the pranic forces which are continually circulating within our body, just as our blood is circulating, just as our nerves are circulating. So along the threads of our nerves, there are invisible nerves, which is a kind of a tree over the whole body and well organized. Now it is when this is being disturbed that the body gets depleted. And that is why if you go to one of the readings here, which is a report from the United States National Academy of Medical Science. It states half of the mortality for 10 leading causes of death. Mind you, 10 leading causes of death. Half of them in United States can be traced to the effects of personal lifestyle and habits. Now this is on the surface level that we are damaging our body in such a way that leads ultimately to mortality. And of course the report suggests that there are many risk factors such as smoking, drinking, heavy food and stress. And therefore it further says that the patient education is necessary by the physician. In other words, the medical science accepts that these are the forces by which we are depleting the vital force. This kind of stressful living, this kind of rush about in life, brings about vital depletion and therefore physiological depletion and therefore disorder and disease and illness. So the cause of disease therefore is at our door. That our own lifestyle is directly or indirectly responsible for our body. And therefore we are responsible for our body. And we are also responsible for our health. Now, how does it take place? Through what mechanism? Now this is explained by the third reading, where the second reading it says, body is like a mother earth. In that it is made up of number of infinitesimal lives. Infinitesimal, so minute that microscope cannot see. Each of sensitive point. One of the mysteries of physical life is hidden among these lives. They are called the lives. Their action forced forward by this all-pervading life energy called prana. This will explain active existence and physical death. It is these lives will explain physical death. Those tiny sentient points of existence, so tiny that they are smaller than even under the electromagnifying glass, you will not be able to see them because they are living entities, because they are invisible lives, life sentient points of living. Those sentient points have got two functions. They are the creators and they are the destroyers. Among themselves there is an internal balance taking place. And it is continually in body. These creators are being created and the destroyers are also being created, and there is between them there is an internal adjustment. It is only when the destroyers are increasing in number that an infection takes place and inflammation takes place and so on, and therefore the disorder. So that means when the body's immunity is low, the destroyers are at a higher level. Because the destroyers are higher levels, infection is at a galloping level. And when that infection goes up so fast that it brings about death, it is because the destroyers have succeeded overcoming what are called the creators, the builders. There are builders in those lives, and there are destroyers. So destroyers, when they succeed in destroying those living entities called the lives, this death takes place. So this is how, as the ocean mentions, this explains active existence, that is physiology of life, and physical death. Now, there is a continuous, what is called the nitya pralaya takes place. Nitya pralaya means, in our body the cells are continually dying out and new cells are being built. Millions of cells are dying out every second in our body, and millions of cells are actually rebuilt immediately or almost at the same space. It's only when, after the age of 30 onwards, 30, 35 onwards, there is a slow decline. The builders are slow, the cells within the cellular activity, when the building is slowing down and destroying are going or taking at faster and faster level, aging process has started taking place. So the process of aging is nothing else but the hyperactivity of those negative forces, less active of the builders, and at the cellular level, the cells are not able to rejuvenate or renew themselves as fast as they are destroyed. It is the brain and the heart cells, they are very nuffat, they are shameless, they are very powerful. They are able to build themselves very rapidly. And one of the most powerful organs is our liver. You can give any amount of insults to a liver. You can even take away 3/4 part of a liver and it can still survive. The man can still live on a 1/4 part of his liver. It's a wonderful organ. It can survive on only 1/4 part which is left out. See, this is a body's own thrust to keep itself living. The zest to life. And that is there within us. So let us respect our body. So that if you refuse to believe that I am going to grow old, you can maintain your health. So they say that with the love in your heart, you will never grow old. You see, that love in your heart, that is that cheerful state of mind. So when you are outgoing, you are constantly building bridges, you are constantly building friends, you are continually concerned with the happiness and welfare of others. You see, you have no time to think about yourself, you have no time to think about your own bodily ailments. And if there is that, you ignore it. And in spite of that, you continue to live and force yourself to continue on. So that means the aging process can be to that extent dealing. This is the secret of longevity. So, half the mortality is thanks to these 10 leading causes of death, and this is because of the wrong lifestyle, which depletes, and one of the most important one is stress. So the man, therefore, as according to Bhagavad Gita, consists of an indwelling entity, an inner consciousness, which is called the Dehi, which takes a body appropriate to itself and lives in it. Therefore it is called the indweller, the indweller in the body. The Dehi who dwells in that body is responsible, and it takes upon itself the structure of this body. So the body builder, the builder of his body, the builder of his own temple, as it is called, is that inner indweller. He is the central concern of our life. So the whole life, as we say about the human life, is nothing else but the life of that inner man. All along we think about the outer man. We are continually being occupied with our external body, with our external things, forgetting that there is an inner concern, there should be an inner concern, there is an inner entity for whose sake you have taken birth. It has taken a body in a particular family, willfully in that particular direction. It is its own concern, it is its own intelligent concern to take birth in a particular way, to take up a particular body. to pay tak take our particular environment. So we are more concerned about his welfare of this inner man. So the state of health is the state of the health of this inner man. If the inner man is at peace with itself, then the outer body will automatically get adjusted. To be at peace with oneself, you have to be at peace with the world, with the peace with our environment. That we no longer have conflict with our environment. So all the negative forces, the negative emotions, the negative way of looking at life has to be discarded if you are going to live long, if you are going to live a healthy life. So that it is said in a Sanskrit, that shariram khalu dharma sadhana. Dharma sadhana, if you are going to practice dharma, if you are going to have the dharma ni sadhana, if you undertake the sadhana, then the body is a means for performing the sadhana. And therefore the body is a very, very important instrument in the hand of man. We are going to use it, body. It is a gift from the divine and we are going to use it. And it is given to us as a gift with a great responsibility to be used responsibly. But we are not going to pamper it. That is not the idea. The idea is that it is an instrument. Just that we buy a car, aren't you going to look after our car? Or if you are going to buy a house, aren't you going to look after our house? Why not our own body? And why not our own life? We have to take our life in our own hand and control it. We are the controller. We are the rider of that horse. That means we have to control our body and not let it go away in its own direction. If my body likes a certain thing, I must see to it that it is consubstantial with my nature. Suppose if I know that there is a tamasic kind of food, in Bhagavad Gita there is a food described as tamasic food, sattvic food and a rajasic kind of food. If I want to preserve my own sattvic nature, I must choose such kind of food which is of a sattvic kind, pure, fresh, natural. That is one example. Or I must choose pure kind of environment, pure kind, good friendships, good environment which is conducive to my mental and physical health. So in other words, it is we who build this body and it is we who destroy that body. So the responsibility is at our own court, and therefore Sharir is given as an instrument for the purposes of higher, for the existence of an experience, for the experience of the soul. After all, the soul, the inner man, takes up a body in order to undertake an experience so that it can grow, it can unfold. It can grow better and better at all the levels, physical level, mental level, psychic and emotional level, as well as a moral level, and also at the unfoldment at the spiritual level. Being a spiritual entity, its greatest concern is to unfold its spirituality, beginning at a physical level. Physical instrument is an instrument it has to use. It is a house in which it dwells, but it is also a temple. It's a temple, it's a very sacred temple. That is why even Plato says, look at Plato, it is a great mistake of the physician of our day that they treat the body without considering the soul. It is a great mistake of the physicians that they treat of our day, that is his time, 3,000 years ago, that they treat the body without taking into consideration the inner man. And Thoreau says, every man is a builder of this temple called body. So what is this body that you are going to build? Is it going to be a pure, holy place, something which is sacred, or is it going to be a club in which you can enjoy yourself? That's our choice. And Dhammapada also says that all that we are is formed of our thought, made up of our thought. That is the way in which we think, the way in which we feel, the way in which we conduct our life, which builds ourselves. All that we are means all the physical, mental, moral, all these qualities with which we are built, at all the three planes, is some total of it is made up of our thoughts. It is our thought which has made it, the quality and the nature of our thought forms which has made it. And therefore, on the other hand, therefore the illness is nothing else but an expression of some kind of disturbance at an internal plane. So that between body and the inner plane, there is that astral plane, as you mentioned. It is that which is the plane which first gets disturbed. So disease begins first in that internal plane called the astral plane, before it manifests itself on the physical plane. But the astral plane is such a sensitive organ that it gets easily affected by the vital energies which is circulating in it. And these vital energies can be polluted, can be thwarted, can be depleted by the quality of life, by the lifestyle which we are undertaking. So again, the responsibility is with our lifestyle, which affects our vitality. Vitality affects our astral body. Astral body affects our physical constitution, which comes out either as health or as ill. This is the sum total of this. So that ultimately, we've got 5 minutes now, that it accounts to this, that the kind of seeds that we sow brings about the results. So this is the one of the last readings we would like to go to, last two readings. He says, mind or manas is the mind, is the mind or manas or the soul, is a container of the efficient causes. The seeds of karma of our circumstances and our inherent character. Like the seeds which sprout again and again as physical disease. So that it is we who sprout the seeds at an inner plane, we sprout themselves as disorder. In fact, it is said that when we say destiny, destiny consists of janma, maran, jara and vyadhi. There are four things that we bring with us a particular place at birth, janma, maran, the particular date on which we are going to die, the particular period at which we are going to die. Jara is aging process and vyadhi, disease process. We bring our destiny from our past. These are the seeds with which we are born. So that sometimes, of course, we are responsible for the seeds that we have brought with us in this particular incarnation. So if I have come in this incarnation with a deformed body, it is because I have brought those kind of seeds with me. If I have come brought with me healthy seeds, that's when my body is healthy, my mind is healthy, and so on. So depending upon the quality of the seeds which we are now sowing, I am now responsible for my future body. At present, I can do much to my present body. To some extent, I can do a lot to protect it against outside influences. But beyond that, I can do much, because now destiny prevents me from going any further. But it is still within me, my free will is there for me to kind of seed that on my soul. Therefore, it is said further that diseases are the gross manifestation showing themselves on their way out. Now, therefore, we are not supposed to suppress them. Since nature is trying to throwing things out from within out, it is trying to exhaust itself. This karma that with which we have brought, our own destiny that we have brought, nature is trying to throw it out. Allow it to have its own natural way out, but that it don't dampen it. Channelize it into a right direction. That doesn't mean that you are not to take remedies. You have to take remedial measures, but don't suppress it. And further he says, to arrest them, to suppress them, through thought ignorantly directed. That is, through hypnotism, through mesmerism, through suggestions, and all those psychological methods by which you suppress them. Don't suppress it, because then they are forced by artificial means in order to escape the consequences. It is to throw them back into the original cause and to replant them in their mental plane. So that which is going to throw out, we are going to replant them again to us. So don't try desperate methods to bring about desperate illness. If I am getting a pain in my hand, I am not going to cut it off. I must, of course, take painkiller. There is no doubt about that. But I must go to the root cause of the pain. That means there is some toxicity in my body by which this pain has taken place. So my body chemistry has got certain toxins that I must try to neutralize those toxins through the means that is available. Now that means that we are left entirely free to choose your own physician, to choose your own therapeutics, your system of therapeutic, but keeping in view this philosophical view. Finally, before we close, we can say this. This is a Charak, the great philosopher, physician, who says, one who is accustomed to suitable diet and habit, suitable, that is, that is suits his constitution, suitable diet and suitable habit. And then, in parenthesis, he says, who always acts in proper reflection, who does not entangle himself in objects of senses, who is charitable, who behaves equally towards all living creatures, who is devoted to truth, who is forgiving, that is non-resentful, non-hostile, which is the chief cause of stress, who serves with humanity and who serves with humility all who are wise, and who is contented in what is possessed, is never attacked by disease, and is in a state of permanent health or swasthya. So this permanent state of health requires our own contribution, the freedom from things, the freedom from those forces which can bring about negative forces within our life, which causes stressful situations and so on. So friends, we take up your questions on the subject. We have got only 1 minute now.
Criteria for a good physician.
Yes, Madam Lavasti says that she says, is it a physician with whom you are in internal harmony? The image is, when you meet a physician, the way the physician receives you, and you have rapport with that physician. If you have got the rapport with that physician, the physician not only gives medicine to you, but he gives a portion of himself to you. When he passes on a medicine or he passes on a prescription, he is not only communicating merely a physical thing to you, to us that is, but there is a kind of internal communication taking place between the physician's own soul and the soul of that individual. So if there is an internal rapport, a kind of a harmonious relationship between you and your physician, that is the right physician. If you have felt from the very moment you have entered in a room a kind of an internal discomfort, not because the pain is not there, but because you really feel not so much, the doctor doesn't even look at your eye to eye. He doesn't, when he talks with you, there is no eye to eye meeting. He doesn't even smile at you. He is most of the time looking at his own prescription pen. Now, if this is the kind of a behavior, he is indifferent towards you, you can be sure that this doctor is not in harmony with you, he is merely concerned with your disease and not with you. If a doctor is concerned with you first and then with your disease, this is the right kind of physician. I mean, this is one criteria. There may be many more. Thank you. Okay, the last thing is from that reading, Dhammapada. Dhammapada is a chapter on happiness, that health is happiness. That's what he says. Because the first 7 stanzas deals with freedom, that we should be free from anxiety, free from hate, etc., etc. And then he says, health is the greatest of gift. Contentment is the greatest wealth. Trust is the best of interrelationships. If you have got these 3, you are a happy man, you are a healthy man. Even though occasionally sickness, illness may come under karma, because from the past you can't change your past, under karma things may come, you have to accept them. Let it go out of it. By accepting it, you are not struggling against it. You are responding in a positive way. But do something about it in a positive way. At the same time, you are at peace with yourself and peace with the world.